I want to take up just from what Andrew said, that human matters to God. Human matters to God. And because we matter to God, that is why we are here today as born of God, being made Christians, because God sought after us and he loved us and he worked in our hearts, and by his grace he turned us to his Son and he gave us faith in him. And there we rejoice. Our sins are forgiven. You see, our bondages are just being broken, and we are made a people who can worship God, people who can humble themselves and repent, and people who will not rely on their own strength. You see, Genesis 1:28 says really exactly what we are trying to say, that God's heart for us from the very beginning is really to be the what he purposed, to be like him. He has made us after his own image, and he wants us to be blessed. That is what he says here. He says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. You see, God's heart always is to bless us. That is intention. It's not for us to struggle. You see, the struggles comes because if we go just a chapter later ahead, chapter 3, the fall, the sin. Sin came into this world through the failure of this man to hold fast to God so that the blessings can flow. You see? So we are in Proverbs, and I got like 4 or 5 verses that I will not elaborate on every aspect. But the emphasis of verse 13 here of Proverbs 3, which says, blessed is the man who finds wisdom. And the man here, the different translations do different things. It's the one, you see there, the one, male or female, blessed. So God's house is blessings, it's to be blessed. And why the blessing is just like chucked here in Proverbs, that it speaks always of wisdom. Well, we have read in verse 1, in chapter 1, verse 7, that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, or the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And it's saying to us that if we want to be blessed, so we need to have this wisdom. We need to have the wisdom that comes from God, so that even the word blessing here is not the normal word that is used, Baruch or Barak. You see? It's not, it's Asher. It's a straightforward that the word has that sense. Everything that we do as the redeems, that we will not struggle. We will be more than conquerors. You see, peace in abundance in our lives. You see, we will be subduing everything. Like he would say, subduing everything. It's not easy, isn't it? How can you subdue the forces of darkness if you are not really made to be able to do that? So God's heart is for us, really. Through this wisdom he gives us, that we will be able to live the life and to full, isn't it? That is why Jesus said, I came that they may have life and life in abundance. The abundant life is maybe, it's not a life that is full of many things, you see? It's a life that is real, identify the purpose of life itself, and that is rooted in God himself and in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. You can have only one pan, you see, and one pair of shoes and one shirt. And you see, and God providing for you your daily needs. And you can be the happiest person ever on earth. Even if your house is just like in a cave, you see, as long as it's not too hot or too cold. It'd be like room temperatures all the time. And God can do that as a way of blessings. Why we think that is impossible for God to make us happy? You see, when he is calling us, that you all that we need to do is really to seek to have this wisdom, and everything else will fall into place. Now I can just dismiss you, and I can just say, you go home and just seek wisdom. Well, I got a few things just to say, because this wisdom, this blessing has to be found, isn't it? You have to find it. It doesn't just come like that. You see, like, we need, even to make the effort that to come and hear the word of God. That was what I did when I was starting to believe.
We would just take every possible opportunity to go to a meeting where the Word of God is preached, where the Holy Spirit is moving. But it's just rushing. And then if there is a need, you take a taxi, paying everything that you have, even if you are not going to have food later on. Just when the Word of God is preached. And actually, there is a way also to hear so that you can find this. And what is that? It's chapter 8, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35 or 34 to 35. It says, and one of the tradition is like, we need to read out of the Word of God. Unless someone says like, maybe it's not from the Bible. That's why we traditionally, we try to hold to the Bible, you know. So 8:35 says this, 34. Blessed is the man who listens to me. You see? So faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. Blessed is the man who listens to me. This is how we find this wisdom. We listen. And then, how do we listen to me? Watching daily at my doors. You see, waiting to hear the word that brings wisdom. How the wisdom comes. You desire it. You want God to impart this wisdom to you so that you can have the blessings. So the blessing is the only thing we need from God. So watching daily at my doors. Not just like one day and like that. When I was just returned from this retreat, really, I was just reading Judges. And I was just getting an encouragement there. And then the small words that just they come and they were empowering me. And then I got too busy a little bit, like preparing sermon and so forth. And then you started to feel like you are not reading really properly. You are not reading the word for your soul. You see? And then you start really to struggle. So it's daily. And I was going to use this as an illustration. Especially for those people who are living on their own, this might be really a good thing to do. Oh yeah, I will be careful. So, yeah, there's an iPad here. You see, you get your Bible here, you open here, you got the other one here, and then the other one here, and then you meditate on this, if it's connecting to this, and then you come to this, and you come there, oh, here's this. Oh, maybe if there is a dictionary you need to look, just have a look. You see, as you do that, God really sees that. That is what it's saying, like daily, really, at my doorpost, waiting to receive this wisdom from God. It says this, for whoever finds me finds life itself. Not everything that we have now is life, isn't it? The life we live not in wisdom and not with God is full of a struggle, isn't it? We have just heard this. Fatalism, isn't it? Discouragements. Trying to make judgments that are not in accordance with the will of God. The Bible says our days are numbered by God. You see? He holds my future. These are not to be found only in our songs. It's to be real in our hearts. And to rest upon this. As if you find this wisdom. The Bible says that is life itself. That is life itself. And receive favor from the Lord. You find favor. You see, favor is how he will make your path smooth and straight. He will be with you. You will know his presence. That is what really here the proverb is saying. Blessed is a man who finds wisdom. That man who gains understanding. So wisdom and understanding. Maybe for us to understand it better, maybe we need to go to the New Testament, to James. James chapter 4, 13. Chapter 3, 13. Who is wise and understanding? You see, wisdom and understanding go together. Wisdom. You need to understand that is the understanding. So the wisdom comes from hearing the word of God, understanding the word of God. So wisdom in itself and understanding it. So the one who finds it and gain it, you see. And the gain here is like a commercial word, you see. Business word. Gains. When you gain something, you see, you gain it. You see, people who do business. You see, they do business. They got like increase and benefits. You see? Yeah, it's a business language. So from God, we gain something. You see? Because we have invested really rightly. And it's life itself. That is why it says, so who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life. The life that is characterized by God's presence. Because this life, he will describe it to us. Let me just go through it and you hear it and you understand it yourself. By deeds done in the humility that come from wisdom. If you see a proud person, he doesn't have the wisdom of God, isn't it? Because the wisdom that from God has certain characteristics. This life that is from God is full of humility. Even like if you can build good things or you can have a great and standing in a community is out of God's blessings and will be in humility as well. Great men and women of God, even though they are great in the gift that God has given them, you see, they are so humble. They recognize that this wisdom is from above, given to them for a purpose, for the glory of God, and for the blessings of his own people. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambitions in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly. And anything that is from earth here can never give us the enjoyment that God desires for us to have, and the life that God wants us to have, and the humility that God wants us to have, and even like the straightforward of things. We will be just moving around and around and around in a circle. We will be angry every day, angry, 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 in division and fighting with this and that, you see, and pushing this aside and so forth. But he who has received wisdom from God shall abide and live with at rest. And we see here, verse 14, this is more profitable. How can you convince people that the life that you live really is nothing compared to the life that you live in Christ? But sometimes they say, why Christians, they look like they are struggling so much, you see? And then they maybe they are not doing well in many ways. Because we desire to want to live like the others, isn't it? Maybe we want to live like the people in the world. Elon Musk, maybe if we are like him, then we are prosperous and we are really enjoying life in full. That is not the case. There was a man by name, I think I quoted this many years ago, Philip Jenkins, he wrote a book and he said, like, well, maybe if you want to find a true Christian, or maybe you don't find it in Europe or in other centers of Christianity, maybe in a village in Nigeria or other parts of the world. You see, how can someone in a village who has no clean water be the greatest Christian ever live? It's by this wisdom that comes from heaven, isn't it? By living a life that is from God. A life full of humility and contentment. He doesn't harbor wrong things against other people. Free, give, forgiving. Knowing that Christ holds the future for him or for her. And that is the life that God wants us to be. And that is the life that can be described as a blessed life. A blessed man or a blessed woman. So, for she is more profitable, this wisdom, than silver. Silver can do things. Silver, those days, you can they make money out of silver, isn't it? They build houses. And so, if you have a lot of silver, you can have really good business, isn't it? Because the people in trade, they can make things out of that, isn't it? But here we are told, like, even with that, really the wisdom you have is better than silver itself. You see, that can bring you a lot of profits. Because he went on to say, and yields better returns than gold. You see? So for she is, the wisdom is more profitable than silver. Profitable, profit, business. And then also is more precious than gold and rubies. yields better return than gold. If you people in Dubai and other places, they do business in gold, isn't it? They have a lot of money. But I say, like, if you have the wisdom that comes from God, you are better than that person who is having all that gold, that's selling all these golds and getting millions and millions of dollars. You are better than that. Because certainly they will not have the rest that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 11. Come to me, you are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Put my yoke upon you. And the thing I want to focus on to finish with would be the word, actually, the word of God. Jesus said, put my yoke upon you. What is a yoke? The yoke is that horizontal bar of wood that in the developing world, they use it with donkeys and horses. They put it in their mouth and they start to subdue them, to direct them. Whenever they want to go astray, they are pulled back. You see, so they go in the right way. You see? And so Jesus is saying, put my word, my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and gentle, you will find rest for your soul. You will find this rest that you cannot get by doing business in gold or silver. Put my yoke upon you. Just desire to do this. Let me go back, because this word, because maybe I read it in the original translation, that you bend for the truth. You see, you desire it. You see, sometimes you sit in a church like this, and maybe you have unbelief about what you are going to get out of this and so forth. But if you bend with faith and then you listen to the Lord, you see, you will be blessed. So the word comes and will change you. So Jesus is saying, you find rest to your soul as you take my word seriously. It's a way of gaining wisdom. Long life is her right hand, at her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. And so there is fullness of blessings as we embrace the truth that comes from God, the wisdom that comes from God. Her ways are pleasant ways, you see, and all her paths are peace. The path, a person that is living according to God's will have peace, isn't it? Because you will not get entangled in places. Even as a young person, if you go to bad places, you end up really coming back with broken heart. You see, even a life can be cut short. We've seen this. There's no peace for he who does not live according to the will of God. There's no peace. When we are called really to have peace, you see, Jesus is big on peace. Peace upon you. That is what is coming. Because the enemy, what he comes, he stirs up the world and brings really despondency and fear and anger and so forth. But a person that relies on the Lord himself, you will have peace. Peace inside and peace outside. You see, I was speaking to this Muslim guy who asked me a question. He said to me, why you Christian, you kill Muslims? I said, what? And this, I was just speaking to someone on phone, you see, and he wanted to talk to me. And I said, can you wait? I was dressed up and you see, I didn't want to talk to him. I was just talking on a payphone. And he said, oh, I want to talk. I said, can you see that I'm talking? And then I said, wait. And he waited. And we were just like traveling on a train, and then we finished traveling and everybody went. And he was waiting. And then after that, we started walking, and he asked me that question. I said, well, I tell you what. Whoever kills, whether he's a Christian or Muslim, doesn't know God. Come with me, let me tell you this. On the cross of Jesus, the vertical, God was reconciling us with himself, God the Father, in Christ. And then, and I said to him, is there any killing in the cross of Christ? And he said, no, umin bil Messiah. I believe in Christ. And then I said, how about the horizontal? Hallelujah, peace with one another. There is no true Christian who would not want to live in peace with people around them, Christians and non-Christians. You will just want to declare the truth. And there are people who are ungodly. They will see the fact that you have the wisdom that is from above. Because it's peaceful, isn't it? This wisdom. That is what James says. It's peaceful. It's peaceful. The wisdom But the wisdom that comes from above is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace, raise a harvest of righteousness. As you live in peace like this, even with these enemies, I always have this picture of seeing a terrorist running with a gun. And then I would just come to him and I say, look, if you really have God, you will have peace. You wouldn't need this big gun to carry around. You see? Because you wouldn't want to harm anyone, isn't it? Because that wisdom comes from heavens, it's peaceful. It's peacemaking. And then you will have harvest. You will lead people to righteousness as you do that. So, friends, do you lack wisdom? If anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask, the Bible says. And the way we ask is to bend and to seek the wisdom that comes by hearing and the word of the Word of God. As we meditate on these words, and as we spend time, even one word, stop on one word. The other day I had my Arabic Bible that is close to the Hebrew, and I got my Hebrew Bible. And then I came across these words. And I went through all the translations. Really, it didn't. They were not capturing what really we are told. Let me just grab it. I got it with me. I got 2 minutes to finish. In the process, I pray that you are praying to receive wisdom. I read it earlier, Isaiah 5. And the Lord God himself, he was speaking about his own people. And he said he brought his own people and then he planted them in a place, you see, as a vineyard. And he said, "He's the word that was used really that has stopped me. He said this vineyard, he described it as Sorak. And when I saw this word, it's not really Arabic. And I said, what is this? And then when I looked at the meaning, he said like chosen one. You see, so chosen, you are chosen. You are chosen. You are not meant not to have peace. God's heart for us is to have peace and to have wisdom and to bend to receive this wisdom so that we can have this great life that God desires, a life full of peace, and we will be peacemakers. Life full of straight things, the things that we touch. The Bible says whatever we touch in God's will, we will succeed in that. You will be a great doctor, a great teacher, a great cook, a great lawyer, great things as you rely on God's wisdom. You will be a great Christian in whatever capacity, a great cook, a great cleaner. You see, the gifts that promotes and advance the kingdom of God because you do them in the will of God because you are chosen. Her ways are pleasant ways and all her paths are peace. That the paths of wisdom that comes from God. And she is a tree of life to those who embrace her. You know, Genesis and Revelation. You see, before fall and the restoration, a tree that roots really do not wither. And the even the branches does not wither. It's a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. And now here we are called really to embrace it. That is really the emphasis. Those who find, who lay hold of this wisdom will be blessed. It's not just you receive it today and you live as a Christian today. No. Continually as you hold fast to this. Long life is promised. Yes. Long life is a sign of God's blessings as we hold fast to the truth. As we hold fast to this wonderful fear of God in our lives, our lives will be blessed, will be straight. That is the word, blessed, straight. You see, we will not struggle. We will have clear visions about things. Whenever we are clouded in our minds, that is an indication that really we have put our strength in other things. But whenever we are really with the Lord, rejoicing and reading his word and seeking him, forgiving this and that, and seeking to be kind to the even to the nearest people to us, our wives, our husband, our friends, our brothers in the church, and sometimes you will be able to love people outside the world. You see, if you can't love your brothers in the church, so it will be very hard for you to do it outside there, you see. It will be very impossible. You can't do it. Okay, you cannot even win a soul there because you are an angry person going really to preach to angry people. You can't do that. They need to see a difference in you. Why you are at rest? Why you are at rest? Peter says, they will ask you of the hope that is in you. And that is the ways of wisdom. That is the way of blessings. Let us seek to show, as James says, let us show this wisdom by the way we interact with others, by the way we live, and by the way we put our desire and strength and intellect, intelligence, resources, everything really at the service of our God. Because that is what he desires. And there we see the blessings, the impossible things. You see, that the world will say, this is impossible. But let us believe in the impossible. I said from this place the other day, I was like trying a little bit to be provocative, a little bit. Not deliberately, but when God says you do that, you do it. Because there, the people will be challenged, and they will, yeah, they will say, yeah, we need to do that. You see, I was asked, they say, oh, during the interview, becoming a candidate, a pastor, they say, oh, we have finished the interview. Do you have anything to say? I didn't think of anything. You see, and then God gave me two sentences that I remember to this day. Were not written down. I said, well, okay, I want you all to know the supernatural nature of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We need to know that we have been called to see impossible things. Supernatural. That is the call of God. To walk as a Christian is to see God's hands and the things that you are doing. See? The supernatural nature of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's not logical. It's not philosophical. Even you cannot explain it sometimes. You have just to receive it. Believing without seeing. You see, that is the faith. Trusting, even when it's looking like it's going to be a disaster in 1 minute. You just wait until it's finished. If you are gone, you are gone anyway. You wouldn't know that you have gone. You will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You will be in heaven. That is why Jesus says death or suffering cannot separate us from the love of God. Secondly, I say to them, well, I want leaders to command leadership and impart wisdom. Because if God has built you up and blessed you and raised you up to be a leader, you need to be able to help your brothers and sisters and lead them in the path that leads them to life and to an abundant life. You see, that is the thing. So they wrote them down. I think they have minutes to this day. You see? And now I'm running out of time in this failure, so I wish I would just do small other things. The other thing I said to them the other day, I said, look, glory and suffering go together. And some people, they think like they are leaving the glory. Even is it in Australia, we have everything we need. That is not the glory. And the people also there in the third world countries, especially in Sudan, because this book was written like these people, they said, we are seeing the glory is coming. We may not be living the glory right now, but the glory is coming. They are living in the hope of the glory. And I said to the assembly that, and that is what is burning in our hearts. We want to see the coming glory, where we will say we are truly blessed because we have embraced the wisdom that comes from God. We did not rely on our own understanding. We did not rely on anything else. We love the Lord God and we trust him with all our hearts, as you have heard the other day, 3:5. Not half heart, the whole heart. And even things looked like really difficult, like the other day, I think they were very difficult, isn't it? Here with the Martin family. And they didn't know what was going to happen and that God was at work, isn't it? Hearing their prayers as they were holding to the wisdom that comes from God. And they believe in their hearts that there anything that is not of faith is fatalism, is just of this earth. And we are all today called upon real to rise as God's people and embrace this wisdom that comes from God. And as we seek it by reading the word and praying and seeking fellowship and repenting in our hearts and being kind to the next person. Let me throw this question. It's out of blue. I didn't think about it. When was the last time you take your wife out for a coffee? Or just let me reverse it. When was the last time you spent a lot of dollars going to a hairdresser as a woman to do your hair just only for your husband? And you encourage him, like, let's go out and just spend time and praise God that he brought us together and that he gave us wisdom, that he made me to submit to you as a wife, you see, and also you loving me is from God. Let us not be ashamed of these friends. If we are not so, and even for single people, you pray for your husband, future husband and future wife. Do pray. We are God's people. The thing that you can be ashamed of before people, you can never be ashamed of before our God. You can tell him anything. You see, that is why he delights to hear you all. The other day, I just thought this bad thought. Could you touch my mind? And your mind is touched. And it's made clear. You see, that is our God. And that is what the Holy Spirit is doing. The ways of blessings are just summarized in this, in finding this wisdom that is more precious than anything that we can think of in this world. Whether people in the commercial world, that is illustrations. People who are doing business, they think they got it all together, isn't it? So he's establishing his business and his things, so his office money, children are paid for, his schools, and holidays are plans and everything, you see. And some people struggle even like to go to pastors' conferences because they made the prices are just like 500, 700. Who can pay that? Well, us, the wisdom will just come from heaven. If I cannot afford it by just going to this gathering. And these are the things that the church need to be challenged about. The youth, what they are called? Conferences. Victoria Youth, you see like the price is there, 700, 400 for one child. What is that? And then they are going to be taught to know God, you see? Well, they will not know God. If a family is pressured, when they want to live within their means and at the same time want to love God and to follow him, and they will be pushed like that, that is not God, isn't it? That is not the wisdom. That is not from heaven. The ways of blessings are clear. God cares. Human matters to him. You matter so much. That is why Jesus came into this world, to seek after us and to make us a people who can receive wisdom from God, who can fear God, who can love him, who can have life that is full of peace, humility, love, you see, and it's a great life. Christian life is a great life. If you don't think that you are living a great life, you've lost it altogether. It's a great life. Hallelujah. It's a great life because you are receiving divine things. Things are from heaven. Let us pray.